Real church. Real church. God desires that we have real church. Because His presence is there. His might is there. His word is there. His healing is there. His generous, generous outpouring of His love is there. And we're beginning to feel that. Even at the beginning of this year, I can't wait. I can't wait to see what He's going to do. The book of Acts, the real church, is described there. Our mission statement of our church is that exactly the mission statement of the book of Acts. We are a church family devoted to making disciples of Jesus Christ. That's the story of the book of Acts. And that's what our church is about. That's our mission statement. And the markers of that mission statement are changed identity, the creation of the family, a new purpose for that family, and a willingness to do whatever it takes, sacrifice. That's the pattern of the book of Acts. Those are our markers too. That's why we have the markers we have, because they're biblical. But we don't do it alone, because there's power. Say the verse with me, would you? Acts chapter 1, verse 8 on the screen. Say it with me. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let's say it again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Samaria in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Everywhere there's going to be the Holy Spirit's power. We continue the series in the book of Acts. We go to chapter 3 and chapter 4 this week and next week. They're really one story, one event that happens. The first part in chapter 3, a great miracle of a lame man raised at the gate Beautiful. Peter and John speaking the word of God. He never walked before in his life, and he walked that day. And he not only walked, he danced and he leaped and he praised God. And then Peter preached another sermon. And 2,000 more people came into the kingdom that day. Next week, we'll look at the response of the religious leaders. You know the church has arrived when you get opposition. You know that you're on the map now, that you're fulfilling God's purposes when there's opposition. We start seeing a lot about these people, the Sadducees. Mostly in the Gospels, it's the Pharisees. The Sadducees show up a little bit. But there's this other group, the Sanhedrin, the ruling body, is made up of two groups, Pharisees, Sadducees. The Pharisees are really, really into the law. Therefore, when Jesus was teaching, they came against him because he would heal on the Sabbath and do stuff like that. It really made the Pharisees mad. Well, now this other group, the Sadducees, their partners in the Sanhedrin, they're getting mad because this guy that they crucified and they buried, he's being proclaimed as risen from the dead. And the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. So they're mad. No matter what you do, you make somebody mad when you serve Jesus. But Jesus said, don't worry, they're not mad at you. It's because of me. It's darkness and light. And it's the issue going on there. And I love this part because I can hear it in the minds of the Sadducees and the Pharisees too. As they're saying, I thought we killed that guy. I thought we dealt with this. And now, they're everywhere. They're all over the place. What do we do with these people? You can't... I thought we did it. I thought we crucified him. But the power of the resurrection fills his people. And his people fill the world. And that's how the kingdom gets built. Let me give you a little bit of background. Many miracles are happening. Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47 says that. And chapter 3 introduces this one miracle that sets a firestorm. This is the event that really kicks in the resistance from the religious leaders. Number one, the healing of the lame beggar. I'm going to spend most of the time in point three, but let me give you one and two and tell the story first. Chapter 3, book of Acts 1 to 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going to the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. So let me give you a little bit about this story. Acts chapter 4, verse 22 says, this man that was sitting at the temple gate begging was over 40 years old. He had never taken one step in his entire life in 40 plus years. Let's give him a name, because he's just called the lame beggar. We need to give him a little bit of integrity and a little bit of substance. We'll call him Moish. Good Jewish name. So Moish is there at the gate, and it was just another day like any day. Because you see, his normal was wake up in the morning. Likely he lived with his parents. We don't really know, but most likely, since he's lame from birth, who's going to take care of this guy? And he starts out with no different. Get ready. Think about the day. Maybe if he got up a little late, he missed the 9 hour, but maybe he can make it to the temple gate Beautiful by noon. If not noon, by 3 o'clock, and catch the prayer rush. And he can make it and make some money that day. The definition of this man's life was beggar, cripple, useless, loser, good for nothing. He had no purpose. He had no future. He had no esteem. What is he, the best of the beggars? I mean, what do you do with that? He's just a beggar. He's got nothing. He's placed daily at the Beautiful gate, or most commentators take it from Josephus, the historian, say it was the eastern gate into the temple. The most beautiful gate. This one was adorned with Corinthian brass. The others were maybe a little bit more plain, but this one was beautiful. 75 feet high, massive gate into the temple. Makes sense that if a beggar wants to make good money, hang out at the most beautiful gate where the coolest people will go in. People of status, people with money, people that have something to give. And he's placed there daily. Jesus no likely passed him by many times going in and out of that gate. The disciples likely passed him a few times themselves. And yet there Moisha sat every day begging. Because that's what beggars do. The man was brought to the gate at 3 p.m., at the time of prayer. Now, there's three times of prayer, 9 a.m., 12, noon, and 3 p.m. And the people would gather in the temple area to pray and lift up their prayers. And now you can see what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 6. When he warned the disciples, he warned the people listening at the Sermon on the Mount, says, when you go to pray, don't be like the Pharisees and teachers of the law. He's talking about these times at 9, noon, and 3 o'clock. Because they like to wait until the crowd had gathered. Now, there's no official person who's leading the prayer, but they, with their robes and their adornment and their religious, you know, status and air about them, would find a place and they'd pray really loud and with eloquent words. So everybody would go, ooh, 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 doesn't he pray so good? Isn't he an awesome prayer? And Jesus said, if you pray like that, it's useless. Your words are wasted. Instead, go pray in secret. Go pray where just the Heavenly Father can hear you. It's a good time for Moisha to beg, right? You got to come for prayer every day. If it's me, I'm coming at noon and 12, or noon and 3 o'clock. 9 o'clock's a little early. You might just get, you know, the really faithful people, the first service type crowds. But at noon and 3, you get the masses. So he's strategic about what he's doing. Later it says they were gathering in Solomon's colonnade. Or excuse me, let me back up. The time to beg. There we go. I missed one crucial point. This is also why Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 6 about giving of your offerings. It says, don't be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the leaders of the law. Because they like to make sure that when they give their gifts, and maybe Jesus was even talking about Moisha. Because he's one of many beggars at the temple gates. It says, when you go and give your gifts of mercy, you give your alms, don't do it so that everybody sees you do it. Don't reach in your pocket and jingle the change around. And then when you place it, make sure that you make a little bit of noise so that everybody can see you do it. So no one said, do it in secret. What a guilt trip it must have been for people going in to pray. And there's the beggars. Dang it, I got to give him something. How can I go in and pray and thank God for what I have, and I just passed the guy who has nothing? So they would make it a point to make sure they were seen. A lot of this is happening, or it's all happening at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Strange, it's the very same moment that Jesus died on the cross. Just a few weeks before. I wonder if there's still talk about that. 3 p.m. Oh, remember when? Remember when the sky turned black? Remember when the temple curtain was torn? Remember when people came out of their graves? At this moment. Solomon's colonnade is where the gathering happens as Moshe starts to dance and leap and praise God. Solomon's colonnade is significant. If you turn back to John chapter 10, Jesus was teaching in Solomon's colonnade. And the religious leaders gathered. And they didn't believe him. They didn't believe his word, but he was doing miracles. And Jesus said, if you don't believe my word, if you don't believe I am who I said I am, at least let the miracles testify to who I am. And they picked up stones to stone him, but he escaped their grasp. In the spot where Jesus was saying, if you don't believe my word, at least believe the miracles. Now Jesus is gone, but miracles are still happening through the disciples. On the spot. Peter and John must have been recognizable by now as the leaders of this new movement. In Moshe's mind, he's thinking, they got to have money. They're the leaders. They got to have something. But they didn't realize these guys haven't fished in ages. They don't have any money. And if they did have money, they've been busy giving it to the benevolence fund so that people could have their needs met. And he asked for alms. The word there is alms. It's a merciful gift. It's not just a flip him a quarter. It's, do you have mercy? If you have mercy, give me something. And he's crying out, alms, alms, alms. And he didn't know that he was going to get legs too. Okay. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. I don't have what you're asking for. You're asking for worldly things. You're asking for things that will last you until your next meal. You're asking for something that might clothe you. You're asking for maybe a new pair of shoes. I don't have that. But what I have is much more than that. What I have will change your life forever. What I have will change your life for eternity. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And he took him by the hand. Now, Moshe had to receive that. And that's what I was feeling this morning in service, church. And we'll get to the ins and outs of Moshe in a minute. But I just got to say this. When God is moving, receive it. What if he reached out his hand and say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And Moshe said, but I can't do that. But I'm not able. Don't touch me. I'll be embarrassed. If I get up and walk and nothing will happen. If I get up and try and I'll collapse again. I'll be humiliated. You have to receive when God is moving. And Moshe received. And he got up. And he walked. And he danced. And he leapt. And he praised God. Peter says, what I have, what I possess, what is mine to give, if I give it to you, I won't be depleted because it's not a substance. What I give you is a person. The person is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and I give him to you. And that name of Jesus makes lame beggars walk again. And he was healed, and the house of prayer turned into a house of celebration, just like we've been experiencing this morning. The people recognized this man as they saw him and they saw the commotion. They said, look, 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 there's Moshe. There he is. He's been there for 40 plus years. We know him. How awesome is that? And when he's hanging on to Peter and John, in Solomon's colonnade, he's hanging on them with thanksgiving. And a paraphrase, a brief couple of words, number two, of the gospel Jesus or Peter began to preach. Looks like this, Acts chapter 3, 11 to 26. Why does this surprise you? I love that statement. Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if we made this man walk? By faith in the name of Jesus, this man, whom you see and know, was made strong. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ as he promised long ago. Now there's many, many verses there. I've just shortened them down into the basics of the message. But in Acts chapter 2, Peter had to defend that the people weren't drunk. In Acts chapter 3, he had to defend that they weren't the miracle workers. This is not us. Why are you surprised at this? Why are you surprised? Do you often get surprised when God breaks in? You go, I prayed, but I didn't expect him to answer. I asked him, but I didn't expect him to say yes. And I just did my religious thing. I didn't actually expect that something would happen. Oh, brothers and sisters, we got to pray with expectation, amen? That when we pray, we expect God, and when he does it, we're not surprised. Because he's our God. And in the midst of that, that word, he shoots straight at them. He says things like this, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate. You disowned the holy and righteous one. You asked for a murderer to be released instead. You killed the author of life. What happened to cowardly Peter? This man has changed. He's fired up. But he says, but God raised him from the dead. And we are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man stands well. You know, it's all about Jesus. It's just all about Jesus. That's our message. Our message isn't the church. Our message isn't abundant life. Our message isn't the programs. Our message isn't the nice things we do. Our message isn't the outreach. Our message is Jesus. Everything for the glory of God. That's our message. And the same message was in chapter 2 of Acts. Same message in chapter 3 of Acts. Very, very similar. With very similar results. But Peter seems to give them an out in his message. And he says, I know you acted in ignorance. What does that sound like? I know you acted in ignorance. It sounds like Jesus' voice to me when he hung on the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Same words. They don't know what they're doing. They're acting in ignorance. I believe that there's a reason he said that. I can't prove it, but I've got an inkling it's true. That back in the Old Testament, when the prophets talked about the cities of refuge, that if you killed someone first-degree murder, you're on for that murder. But if it was second-degree, if it was accidental, it was unintentional, if it was second-degree, you could run to the city of refuge and be protected. By Jesus' statement on the cross, he changed the sin from first degree to second degree. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know. So we can run to our city of refuge. We can run to our Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter does the same thing for these people. He simply says one thing. Repent. Change your thinking. Repentance is not the changing of a single action. Repentance is changing of your way of thinking. It's changing of the way you live your life. Not just changing one thing. Okay, I won't cuss anymore. I repented. But the rest of your life is crazy. Okay, I won't watch porn anymore. But the rest of your life is ungodly. Repentance is not changing one thing. Repentance is changing your lifestyle. To follow the King. To follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do that, he says, times of refreshing will fill your soul. Have you felt that time of refreshing when you repented before the Lord? And you felt that wind, that cool, that purifying just go, whoa, inside of you? I think some of you felt that this morning as we worshiped. You felt the presence of God and that refreshing came in. And Peter says, and just wait, because this same Jesus that was crucified, he's coming back. He's coming back again. So repent. Because just as you've seen him prior, you're going to see him again. Well, that's just background. Let's get the takeaways. Number three, the takeaways for you and me. The takeaways are this. Of the characters in the story, we at times are all of them. You and I. We play the role of each of the characters. We are the beggars. We are Moshe. He didn't know any different as a child. Poor Moshe, he can't play with the other kids. At school, he gets picked on. Who wants to date and marry a cripple? He just does what he's supposed to do. 9, 12, 3 every day, except the Sabbath. I wonder what it's like inside the temple. I wonder what it's like in there with Jesus' presence. I wonder what it's like to experience what those Christians talk about. I wonder what it's like to have him infill a life. I wonder what it's like to walk in there. But I'll never know that because I'm just a cripple. That became his normal. His normal was just sitting at the gate, yearning for something more. And speaking to those that don't yet know Jesus, in the sanctuary and online, that normal doesn't have to be forever. Because when you encounter the power of the risen Jesus Christ, he can make you walk in the Spirit. I know your legs may just be just fine, but your spirit is lame. Your spirit is broken. Your spirit is not able to function because it's caught in darkness still. And instead of begging the world for answers, I need a new self-help book. Would you help me? I need a new politician. Will you help me? I need a new job. Will you help me? We could ask for worldly things all day long and beg and beg and beg to get better. And those things will not heal the spirit. There's only one that will heal the spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, be resurrected. Rise again in your heart. That's the only way you come out of the lameness into spirit. Many of us have already begun to walk because we've accepted Jesus as our Savior. But God did not create any losers. God did not create any hopeless causes. God did not create anybody who is unable to get up and experience the times of refreshing. It's just a matter of if we'll take his hand and let him raise us. And some at this point have still refused to take his hand. Day in and day out, the same. It doesn't have to be. Our response is simply to say yes to Jesus. Just say yes. We're all also those who put the beggar at the gate. We're those who put the beggar at the gate, all of us, at times. We're Jesus' helpers. This one can get a little confusing, and so I don't want to mess your mind up a little bit, but sometimes nice is not enough. Nice is nice. I believe we're a lot of nice people here. But nice is like the helpers who took Moshe and put him by the gate. Let's do something nice. Let's go to our friend, and he's got friends. I mean, remember the other guy who had friends that cut a hole in the roof and let the paralytic down? He's got friends. And the friends said, well, let's do what we can. Let's help him to get to the gate so he can beg. Let's help him. Maybe it's cold in the winter. Let's put his scarf on him. But don't put the new scarf, because then people will think he's making too much money and they won't give him so much. Put a little bit of a funky scarf on him. Don't put his nice clothes on. Make him look a little shab, because he'll make more money that way. They're nice. Let's pack a lunch for him. So let's get him into the cart, and we'll wheel him down to the beautiful gate, and we'll get him in position. Then we'll go worship. Then we'll pick him up, and we'll take him home. This is nice stuff. Maybe we'll leave him with a few verses. We'll leave him with Jeremiah 29. Moshe, I know the promises God has for you, promises to give you a hope and a future. Maybe we quote Romans 8:28. God works all things together for good to those that love him. He's working together for your good, Moshe. Don't worry, you're okay. But he's still lame. Are you following me with this one? Nice is good. Nice is good. But church, there's a time when the power of God needs to surge through us so that we're more than nice. The power of the risen Christ produces a person that can walk again. I hope we will continue to be nice. Let's always be nice. Let's always be kind. Let's always be generous. Let's always do those things. But for those of us who want more than just nice, we need to seek Jesus with all of our heart. Begin to pray each day, God, use me in powerful ways. God, help me to be the man and the woman that can take a person, not just to put them at the gate so they can continue to be a beggar, but to speak the words of life so that they can walk in the truth, so that they can walk in the light, so that they can have power in their life too. The response to those of us that are living in the nice, help the beggar mode is we got to seek Jesus for boldness and power. All of us at times are the onlookers. Those who saw the thing and went, ooh, what's going on? Like I remember when I was in high school and when there was a fight, everybody would yell, fight, fight, fight! And everybody go, and just go, you know, be onlookers, just gawkers. In this case, you know, these miracle rubberneckers, they come and watch the show. Oh, I want that power. Oh, I want to do that. Oh, I wish I could do that. Oh, what happened? I want that too. And I know there's thoughts like that because in Acts chapter 8, it says so. That there's a guy who watched them do miraculous things, and this guy says, can I buy that? Can I have that power? But you see, sometimes we want the power, but we don't want to pay the price to get to the power. And the problem with the onlookers is that they're fascinated by the event, but they don't want to pay the price to be able to be a part of the event. They like what's going on, and they'll buy the books, and they'll watch the interviews, and they set up these Christian celebrities that do stuff, and ooh, 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 oh, aren't they great? But not realizing the hours and the days and the weeks and the years of travail and prayer and study and sacrifice to be able to lose their life so that God can present his life through them. Oh, I'd give anything to have power like that, would you? Would I? Am I spending those hours in fasting and prayer? Or do I just want the power without the work? The onlookers wanted the scene. They wanted the thing. They wanted to experience what was going on. But for us, we need to confess and repent and ask God to renew our faith. Renew me, Lord. Renew me so that I just won't be an onlooker. I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to be your tool. I want to be a useful piece in your hand, God, so that I'm not just saying, wow, look at what happens. How come miracles happen in other countries? They never happen around here. Why not here? Why not now? Let's not be onlookers, but let's press in and seek God and watch him do something in our lives. Then finally, we are all Peter and John, the real church at times. Praise God that sometimes he uses us. And we go, whoa, did you really do that? Did that really happen? Did you really, God? Sometimes we're that way. And Peter preached, and the church grew to 5,000. Because Peter said, I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have. Do you believe you have power? Do you believe that if the Holy Spirit is in you, and not just power to go around like some kind of, you know, Marvel superhero just zapping people left and right. I mean, this is like the power to be Jesus in the world. To love, to sacrifice, to forgive, and at times to say, get up and walk to a beggar in life or to a beggar in the spirit. Peter says, why are you surprised? Why are you surprised? We didn't do this. It was Jesus that did it. It was Jesus. Our response here is to be on our face continually. So that God can use us. Peter didn't have to go, Moshe, would you wait a second? I'm going to go pray about it. I'm going to go ask God if his will is to make you better. And I'll get back to you in a few weeks once I pray it through. He didn't have to go pray. He already knew because he'd been in the presence of God. And in that moment, get up and walk. He already knew. I don't know about you. I want to live like that. I want to be in God's presence so much that when the moment happens, I already know what he wants to do. Not by some supernatural word of knowledge, but I've already been with him. And that's where we need to be. We need to be with him so that when the time arises, we're already ready with power. Are you a beggar? You can be raised to life today. Are you a nice person, but yet wanting power? God can set you on the way today. Are you an onlooker? God can bring you into the fold and begin to do mighty things through you. And if we're the real church together, unstoppable. Unstoppable. God, I pray in Jesus' name that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would move us and change us. Lord God, Peter and John, the disciples, they left their jobs. They left their families. They left everything. And they followed you for 3 years. They faced persecution. They faced ridicule. They faced hunger. They faced fearful times on the Sea of Galilee. They faced demons. And yet they still followed you. Even when everybody else abandoned you, they still followed you. And then when you were crucified, they acted human, but most of them repented. And then they waited for your Holy Spirit. That was a lot of prep work to get to this place where your Spirit filled them and they were able to say, "Rise up and walk," to a lame man. God, you could do a miracle and you could just zap us. But I know you're a loving father and I'm a father too. And I always appreciated more when my kids understood the work and the time and the investment it took to learn something, to be something. And God, I pray that if you want to fill us with power, Lord, you can do that right now. You can do that right now. But God, I pray that you would help us to learn to seek you with all of our hearts. Seek you here and seek you at home. Seek you on the job. Seek you at play. Seek you at school. Seek you with our friends. Seek you when we're relaxing. Seeking you on the weekends. That we just learn how to be in your presence continually. And know that the power is there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence right now. I want to ask, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're feeling like a beggar, that you just want the power of Jesus Christ to resurrect your spirit, to resurrect your soul, tired of the normal of just every day, and seeking refreshing from worldly places and never finding it. But now you know that refreshing is found in only one, the name of Jesus. If that's you this morning, let me put up a hand. I'm going to pray with you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, all over. We're all beggars. A lot of us are nice people. We're nice. Somebody would say, yeah, I'm nice, but oftentimes, like, I almost feel guilty because I was nice, but the person is still in the same place they were, like the lame man. How many would like to see some power added to your niceness? Yeah, me too. Me too. I don't want to be an onlooker, just watching from a distance. I don't know about you, I want to be a part of it. How many would like to be a part of what God's about to do? Yeah, me too. Me too. Father, in Jesus' name I pray for those that want to know you. They want to know you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that you would move on their hearts, fill them. And God, all they need is pray something like this. And I invite the congregation to pray with me for the sake of those who may pray it for the first time. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I believe you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all that is. And I want you in my life. I want to serve you. I want to follow you. I want you to forgive me of my sins and make me new. I don't want to be a beggar anymore. But I reach out my hand and I take yours. I thank you for raising me up and giving me new life, times of refreshing. Thank you for coming into my life, Lord. And now I want to praise you all the rest of my days. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For those that are seeking more, God, I praise you and ask you, Father, to give me power. Not power for myself, not power to have a name, but God, power to lift others, to strengthen others, and to bring people into an eternal knowledge, a saving grace, so that they can see you face to face and call you Father. Lord, this world is full of just so much darkness, so much negativity, so much just confusion. God, I want to be a person who penetrates that and who brings light to a dark world, who brings salt to a flavorless world, and who brings the miraculous supernatural power of God with me wherever I go, in whatever form that takes. I thank you, Lord Jesus. And each day, I will walk in your power. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. We're going to seek the Lord again this week. And I don't want this to become just kind of a, oh, this is what we do now. A different liturgy. Where, oh, okay, now we do the prayer time and that's what we do and go through the motions. No, no, no. 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 We're going to seek God. And this is a time to seek God. I know we missed our announcements. I hope nobody loses their salvation over that. The offering things are still there. If you want to give your offering, please do that. But right now, it's more important to seek. So let's seek. If you have to go, there's no judgment. If you have to do that, please do not feel judged. I know people's schedules are different. But I invite you, if you do have to go, seek God today. Seek Him tomorrow. Seek Him Tuesday. And who knows what will happen next time we get together. For those that can stay, let's press in. Because you don't just, okay, good. Now I'm good with God. No, we got to take the time. So as the guys play and there's worship music happening, find a place of prayer. In your seat, walk the room, on the front steps here, it doesn't matter. Let's spend some time with God. Amen. Let's be real church. Let's seek God and find God. So God bless you. If you have to go, if you need to do that, do so. Otherwise, let's seek God. Let's pray. Pastor Sean.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing.
Feel free to turn and pray in your chair if you want to. Let's make this a house of prayer.
How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing this song as I often do. Every song must end, and you. Would you get shy on me, lift up your song? Cause you've got a lion inside of those bones. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. Put up Abide. For my waking breath, for my daily breath, I depend on you. Yes, I depend. For the sun to rise, for my sleep at night, I depend on you. Yes, I depend on you. You're the way, the I depend on you. Thank you. So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but nothing else fit for my King. Except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we give you glory and praise. Right now, Father, we just desire for you to be glorified.